Well, Josh, Michael Chandler has finally got his fight. His fight against Conor McGregor. It is coming up on International Fight Week. And now he has come out saying he wouldn't be surprised if that fight is for the title. But not the 155-pound title and not the 170-pound title that, you know, neither one holds. It would be the 165-pound weight class that the UFC has never used. Do you think that they might actually start to open up at 165-pound weight class and put Chandler against McGregor in the first championship fight for that belt?
Okay, hot take here. I actually do believe that they probably would do this, okay? And it would totally not be warranted at all. Like, there's so many other people that are at 155 or 170
deserving
that would be deserving of that title. Now, I understand why they're doing it. Look, Conor's got to have a title. They've got to try to make it for a title. If it's Chandler and Conor, they've got to try to make it for a title. I don't know whether it's the BMF, which it won't happen now because Max is going to be hard to beat that performance. They want that. They want to let that marinate a little bit for a little bit longer. Man.
You can ride off of that one.
Yeah, you got to let that one, you know, just sit there and marinate for a bit.
Do you think that's fight of the year? Right now, at least.
I mean, John, we're only, what, 5 months in? 4 months in?
That still could be fight of the year right now. Something might overtake it.
It was kind of a one-sided fight. Just because the way the finish happened, I'm not sure if I want to put it as fight of the year. I will probably give it knockout of the year. As of right now, knockout of the year for sure. But I'm saying, like, fight of the year, it was one-sided. And when I think of fight of the years, I think of Joanna and Weili, where Weili comes back from two rounds down and wins the next three rounds and makes her look like the person from Star Trek, the guy that has the little things on her forehead, whatever those are.
The Elephant Man.
Now, what were those? What,
remember the Elephant Man?
What were the guys called on Star Trek that had, like, the foreheads that were all veiny and, muscular?
Don't. Oh, you think? Wait, hold it. The Klingons.
Yeah, the Klingons. There you go. Very good. Thank John knows. You also watched a lot of Star Wars or Star Trek back then.
No, I was a Klingon.
That's kind of what Joanna's forehead looked like right there.
That's exactly what I looked like when they made me up, too.
Oh, shit. The one right there in the middle, the guy with the little arrow in the middle. Yep, that's him.
The fine forehead.
Yes. He's a Klingon. Anyways, great stuff. Anyways, John, where was I going with that? No, I don't think
it. You were saying that it was not as competitive as you would want to say fight of the year.
Yeah, for fight of the year. I always look at fight of the year as like a Uri and a Glover fight. Something that's back and forth battle, a lot of mistakes, but a very action-packed fight and fun to watch, you know? And Joanna and Weili. Fights like that, I think, are so much fight of the years. Knockouts like this, it was a one-sided fight. It was a close fight. Could have been changed at any moment. I would have probably enabled a knockout of the year also if it was Justin. If he would have caught Max and came back, I mean, you got to think in terms of, for me, knockout of the year was Leon versus Usman. That was, to me, knockout of the year. It was a great fight. Down five, you know, four rounds, basically four and a half, you know, and...
No, three.
Oh, he won the first.
He won the first round.
He won the first, correct. The first he did.
Lost the second, third,
lost the second, fourth. Third, and fourth, yep. But yeah, the fight was there, man. The fight, like, those are the things that I look at. So, all right, what are we talking about? Let's go. What are we talking about? I'm all over the place right now.
Boy, I'll tell you, you're all over the place. We were talking about the 165-pound weight class and a championship belt being on the line between Michael Chandler and Conor McGregor.
It's just not. It's not. It's not a deserving fight.
You don't like it. You don't like it.
No, I'm not saying I don't like the fight. I'm saying for a title, I don't think it's a deserving fight. But I understand why they're going to do it. If they are going to do it, which there's a little bit of buzz that it potentially is going to happen, then when do they announce that 170 is going to 75? That's what I want to know.
That would be the question, you know? Because you've got Leon. Has Leon even been scheduled yet for Bilal? Dave, has he?
No,
I don't think he has.
Nothing's really been said.
Man, this is one that's like, something's going on with somebody somewhere.
Well, let's take a look. Let's take a look at this division. You got Islam at the top at 155. You've got Armand Sarukian number one and the number one contender. You got Charles Oliveira number two, Justin Gaethje. They still haven't really adjusted these things, have they?
Yes, they
did. Yeah, they did. Yeah.
I thought I had read somewhere that Max was in the 50.
Look at Max Holloway at number nine.
No. I saw someone had posted up that Max was number one.
No, this is what I love.
Or number two.
Stop. This is what I love, and this is what drives me crazy, and it's not just the UFC that does it. It's everyone. How is it that Justin Gaethje just had a fight with Max Holloway, and absolutely there's no denying who won that fight, and he's six places above him?
I don't get it.
It just doesn't make sense.
John, you and I used to sit inside the conference rooms and just pull our fucking hair out with Bellator's with their rankings.
That was horrible.
We're like, what in the hell? What are you doing, Dave?
I'm trying to highlight for you guys that Max did move up in featherweight. So to suggest that, you know, maybe this is just an indication that he isn't actually moving up to 55. Like, so maybe the reason for ranking.
I'm not saying he is moving up to 55. And it could be very clear that Max, you know, goes right back to 145. Great. But it's impossible to sit here and take a ranking seriously when you have a person that won a fight, dominated the fight, ends up with a knockout in the fight, and the one person that lost is now ranked, instead of being ranked at number one or number two, he's ranked at number three, while the person that beat him is down at number nine.
Doesn't make any sense.
Well, we're going to talk about Max, but let's focus on Conor and Chandler here.
No. What we're talking about, though, is fighters that can go up from 155 and fighters that can come down from 170 that would be more... would be more deserving of that title shot at 165, especially if it's the very first one. I mean, it's Conor McGregor. That's the only thing that I can think of that would maybe that's what they had to do to get the thing done.
Maybe it is. You know, it might have been that, you know, part of the whole negotiation was, hey, this should be for a title. Okay.
Is this, but let me ask you this, does it discredit the fact that there hasn't been a three division champion in a major promotion? I mean, I know you have the one right now, the guy over in one, right? I know you have that over there. I mean, if we want to count that, he's a three-division champion. Yeah, was it Malkin?
Yeah,
you have him. I know that in King of the Cage, Juan Archuleta did it, 135, 45, 55.
Yeah.
I get it. I mean, I got to mention him. He's done it. Yeah. But, you know, in terms of Patricio tried it in Bellator, came up short against Pettis. You know, we did it in 45 and 55 against Chandler. He knocked out Chandler in 55. I mean, you could say Leon maybe could make 65. I don't know if he'd be the same fighter if he did that. There'd be no reason for him to do that when he's fighting so well right now at the weight he's at. But, I mean, everyone's told us that Colby Covington, your boy, Dave, could make that weight. Did you hear me, Dave? Your boy? Yeah. All right, because he's talking a lot of shit right now to Ian Garry.
Well, I think Ian Garry could make that weight.
You think so?
Yep.
Yeah. He's kind of tall, long, and lanky.
And I think, dude, he would chase Colby into that 165-pound.
But so those are guys that I feel like if I'm talking, that are probably a little bit more deserving. But look, it's Conor McGregor. It's Michael Chandler. You know they're going to have a great fight. It's going to be for a title. But now what do you do with that 70-pound division? Because they haven't talked about moving that up yet. I haven't heard anything about that yet. And if they're going to have to move that up quickly, and those fighters that are training right now for fights coming up, they've got to know.
Do they? They don't have to.
They don't have to what?
They can keep 170 and have 165.
That's a lame.
I'm not saying it. I don't think it's smart.
I would like to see them add that, only because then you have weight classes every 10 pounds until you get to 185.
I agree.
It makes sense.
I agree. Yeah.
I think because...
especially when I think the UFC is the one promotion that you can look at and say, look, you have enough fighters. You can absolutely have an additional weight class and not hurt yourself.
Well, John, let's be honest. I mean, they're going to probably end up getting a bunch of new fighters here pretty soon anyways. So
I have no idea what you're
saying. Yeah. Let's be honest. They're going to probably end up with a bunch of new fighters in these weight classes. So they got to start filling these voids. There's going to be a lot of talent coming in to start, dabbling around in there. So it's going to be good. I think the UFC's got what, 600 something fighters under their roster.
Over 600.
Yeah, something like that. Somewhere around there. So it's going to be good, man. It's going to be interesting to see. I am encouraged to hear that, because for the longest time, I wish they had this weight class. Because there was a lot of guys that were weight bullies when I was getting older, and I would have liked them to go to 165. You know, because I was a 55-pounder. Always was, always had been. So, you know, I had the one fight at 143. But, like, well, weight bullies, man. All these guys were weight bullies when I was getting older.
You're a weight bully when you went against Yamamoto, man. That was just wrong of you.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I was actually surprised I actually made the weight. 143 pounds was a lot. All right, but I mean, John, give me your take. Who do you think deserves it, and how do you see this happening? I mean, look, you're a little bit more on the inside. Come on.
No, I'm not on the inside. Tell me,
don't lie to me now.
Look, I can tell you,
You can't make eye contact.
I recently had a conversation with a person that is a well-known employee of the UFC and stuff, and I got nothing as far as this being a title fight, but it definitely could be. And if you're the UFC and you're going to do this, really, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you put it as, the fight with Chandler and Connor, and it makes sense because they do better with Connor being a champion.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's just be honest. They do better. And so it's a business. And so why not say, well, right now we don't have that weight class. So this is what we're going to say, that this is the fight that starts it off. And if people want to go to that weight class, let McMaynard and let Sean Shelby know that you want to be in that weight class.
Dana,
and then we'll go from
there. Dana White talking to all the fans, just fucking saying, let them cook, baby. Let them cook.
Hey, right now Dana White is sitting there in a position where life is good. Everything that he's been doing has really come together. Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I don't know what he had the moment with the whole incident in Mexico. And since that moment, he's been like so much more in control. I don't know if it's that he's more healthy based upon that. I know he did that diet stuff, maybe, no alcohol or anything like that. But he has been, sharp and, attacking things when he wants, the way he wants to do it, stepping up and, taking care of people the way he wants. He's been on point. You can't sit there and say anything, but the dude's got that company fucking running and running well.
This is going to be another kind of hot take, but it's kind of like a little bit of a hot take. Look, and then no way am I trying to compare any of the history. I'm going to throw this out there in terms of history. He always had a promotion, whether it was Pride, whether it was Strikeforce, Bellator. He always had a promotion that was kind of always a little bit there, like a nagging injury, like
irritating.
Like, yeah, okay. I have a fighter that I like, but guess what? They're going to pay them more. Like, going to steal one of my fighters. It was that nagging. He doesn't have that anymore.
Well, nah, John, got it,
we're not, but we don't, he doesn't, he, there's like, no, he, there's,
he, when the PFL, when the PFL signed Shane Burgos, he was one of the first people that came out and said, we screwed that up.
They screwed it up. Yeah, he understands that they screwed that up.
Yeah.
But in these situations right now, he doesn't have that anymore. Like, they lost Francis to the PFL. They lost Shane Burgos to PFL. They're going to lose some fighters there, And the enticement of going to the PFL because of the $1 million contract to win the tournament, it's there.
Sure.
Managers read the contracts, and then they get into these tournament contracts that are a little tricky. So you gotta be very cautious and careful, managers are. And so that being said, but all of this stuff, Bellator now is consumed and wrapped into the PFL, the two promotions together. They are operating separately, but for the first time, I think with the UFC, they really feel like there's not much of a threat out there. We have the control. Not that as if they were threatening, but that's a nuisance out there. Say, there never was
they
a didn't threat.
Have much of a threat. They haven't had a threat since they bought Pride. Let's be honest. Even Strike.
Yeah, even Strikeforce. But Strikeforce was gaining a lot of ground. It was like it was actually gaining ground on them.
Strikeforce was gaining credibility.
Yes.
Okay. As a promotion, it was gaining credibility as, hey man, there's some really good talent over there. There's some people fighting big fights. There was the matchups that people wanted to see. But even with that, it's not like Strikeforce was, in a position to challenge the UFC.
No, they weren't. They weren't. But, I mean, they were doing things, though, that, Bellator was just starting to do right towards the end there. We're selling out big arenas. Their first show in California was 19,800, I believe, 800 something.
18,000.
I thought it was 19,800.
No. Because the one that beat it was in Columbus, Ohio at UFC 68, that was 19,000.
Oh, okay. It was 18.
But it was 18,000 something.
Okay.
Was yeah. the first. That, it held that record for freaking years.
For a long time. Yeah. But hey, like I said, Dana's going to say, let it cook, man. Everyone's just going to wait for his answer on whether it's going to be changed out or not. He's always said that he's against the 165 because he likes where it is. The weight classes are doing well. But the 155-pound division is always stacked because we're the best fighters in the world. And the 170-pound division is also cooking right now. And he's got a lot of good fighters in there with younger guys coming up and making names. So some of those guys may drop down into the 65. You could have three solid weight classes and some damn good fights if you let it cook.